to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. And today, by Bhagwan's grace, we have not one but two guests. It is the way he designed it. This was not planned, but everything that happens in our life is already planned. They say that man proposes, God disposes, but in reality, it is God who proposes and God who disposes, isn't it? With time, we realize that we have very little control over anything that happens in our life. And so, by Bhagwan's grace, we have, along with Mr. H.J. Bhagya, our dear Bhagya sir, Subramaniam sir from the Vrindavan campus. We have had Bhagya sir with us as we started discussing the chapter 10 of Premavahini, and wonderful insights for those of us who've been listening to this program. I know each episode of this satsang is something that you can go back and reflect and ruminate on. And for those who missed, please do download them from our website. Each of these episodes are filled with beautiful gems, beautiful pearls, beautiful insights, beautiful interactions, very, very revealing interactions that Bhagya sir personally experienced with Bhagwan, and he so beautifully shared with us. And today, as I mentioned, we have Subramaniam sir, someone who has been in the Vrindavan campus for 40 years. He's been teaching for nearly 34 years to the students in the Vrindavan campus. Someone who is had his own wonderful connection with Bhagwan. In fact, today, as we move on to the next segment of chapter 10, here Bhagwan talks about establishing connection with the divine. Swami gives the ways to establish connection with the divine. And today we have two very, very distinguished, very, very privileged souls who have had their amazing connection with the divine, not for a day or two, not for a year or two, not for a decade, but for decades together. So let's pray to Bhagwan that today's satsang fills us with that bliss of knowing how to connect with him. So let me play for you the ninth segment of chapter 10, and then with prayers we will listen to Bhagya sir and Subramaniam sir.
ఇట్టి పరమార్థ సంబంధమును కల్పించుకున్నటకు అట్టి పరమాత్మ ఆరాధనకు ఉపయోగకరమైన ప్రధాన పరికరాలు మూడున్నవి. ఆ పరికరాలను భక్తుడు ముఖ్యంగా సాధించవలెను. ఒకటి, రాగద్వేషముతో దూషితము కాని చిత్తము. రెండవది, అసత్యాదులతో దూషితము కానట్టి వాక్కు. మూడవది, హింసాదులతో దూషితము కానట్టి కాయము.
There are three ways of offering worship which devotees must seek to achieve. One, to have a consciousness unblemished by hatred and attachment. Two, to have speech undiluted by untruth. Three, to have a body unpolluted by violence.
So these are the three tenets that Bhagwan is enumerating. When Bhagwan started this chapter, if you see, Bhagwan talks about devotion. In the first initial paragraphs, Bhagwan talks about devotion. And now he's giving us three ways of expressing devotion. Your thoughts on this, Bhagya sir and Subramaniam sir?
Well, first of all, Sairam to all the listeners. I'm really privileged to communicate again and share with you the golden moments spent with Bhagwan Very first one, Swami is mentioning that likes and dislikes, one should get rid of likes and dislikes. I came here since 1986, I have already mentioned it in my earlier talks. Before I came here, I have been fond of fruits, fresh, dry fruits.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, maybe this I consider being on the spiritual path, this was probably my vasana,
mm-hmm.
to have association with fruits. That I was born in a family where my father, elder brother, younger brother, all were in fruit business.
Mm-hmm.
I never entered into fruit business as such, but I enjoyed all the fruits, eating.
Of their fruit business.
Of the fruit business. My father was so fond of me because somebody who appreciates a new variety of fruits and enjoys eating. I used to consider that the meal without fruits is incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, I didn't realize in childhood or till I came here, that it is also a vasana which can probably take you away from Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, I had another dislike. Before I come to that, let me complete this first. Swami in his discourses, he has clearly repeatedly said that the strong likes and strong dislikes have to be given up. When I joined here, it so happened that my health deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
I developed a very serious digestion problem. Not just for a day or two or a month or two, years together.
Oh my God.
So much so that 1987, after I joined in 86, Swami asked me, how are you, sir? I said, Swami, everything is fine with your grace. And then he went and asked my wife, how's he? Swami is fine. No. Swami said, he has a problem. But Swami did not reveal. Now it went up to such a level that anything I ate was causing problem, disturbance, burning.
Oh.
Even the fruits which I loved the most, I couldn't eat. Simple fruit like banana.
Oh my God.
Sweet fruits, sour fruits, okay, I can understand. But even the sweet fruits. So, slowly, my hand will go on a fruit, but it will tell me, hey, if you put it in, you are going to face it. So, gradually, this habit of eating fruits or incomplete meal without fruits, that concept went away from my head. Now, the time came, I don't want to give more details how Swami cured my problem. It took Swami, rather, to work on my problem from 87 till 2001.
Oh my God.
And finally, Swami gave me green signal, not verbally, but in action. He kept, in Kodaikanal also, kept giving me something which I never tried in last 10 years or so. So that means he got me the block which was there for the fruits. He removed. Now also I love fruits, but no attachment. A fruit comes, well and good. I can live totally on fruits. But if fruit is not available, okay, doesn't matter to me. So strong likes, I'm just giving one example. Now strong dislikes. Invariably, Swami used to address me whenever he gave us interview with my wife. How's your durvasa?
Oh,
because my short-temperedness. And once I tried to read more about durvasa, then it was true that durvasa used to be upset talking or telling untruths.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody gives him or asks him to do something which is not righteous or which is not fact, then he will be very upset. The story we remember about the five Pandavas,
yes.
Krishna telling him that I don't have to repeat that story. Then Durvasa told even Lord Krishna, don't tell me to tell lie that they are not here. Lord Krishna told Durvasa, no, I'm not telling that. You put them, have a best man,
yes,
and put them underneath you. You have your chair or seat on,
yes,
top of it. When they come, you tell them with a raised voice that they are under you. So Lord Krishna used the anger.
Yes.
So he told them when they came to find Pandavas, Pandavas are under me, underneath me, beneath me. So seeing his anger, he didn't tell a lie, but he saved him. But my case was similar. If somebody says that he agrees with my analysis, rational, logical discussion, if he says, yes, you are right, I will do it. And if he doesn't put into action, I used to be very, very angry. So, Swami used to call me Durvasa. And literally, Swami worked more than 10 years on this small, we call it insignificant, but it's very profound, on anger. Oh my gosh. He would suddenly come in darshan line. He will make me, he'll look at me, and I would kneel up and offer my pranams. He will look at my hair. The design of my hair is, they stand up. So he said, what is this? Your hair is standing up like this. In my mind, I said, Swami, it is your design, not my design. You're asking me. I used to be very upset with Swami also. Once Swami told my wife that he bahut gussa karta, he's very angry on you. She was protecting me. And she said, Swami, no, he doesn't have anger on me. He said, hey, I know everything. Externally, he may not show. He is very angry. And not only at you, even at me, I know. So, Swami also had a taste of my anger, so to say. Not that he has a taste, but he knows everything. So, continuously he was working on it. Finally, many years later, he himself came to my rescue. He created a pendant and said that whenever you feel angry, mm-hmm, you see this and your anger will go away.
Oh,
Swami's photo on one side, other side Shri Baba's photo. Wonderful way he, because in that interview where he created, Swami told my wife, whenever you see him feeling angry, give him a glass of cold water. I said, in an interview you can be very, very frank and open with Bhagwan. I said, Swamiji, if she brings a glass of water and when I am already angry, not only I'll throw the glass out, I'll tell her, get out. So I didn't agree. He said, okay, you leave that room and go to another room. Swami, when I'm angry, how can I leave that room? No, you leave those people. How can I? Swami, impossible. So then I prayed to him sincerely, Swami, please help me. He helped me in a different way, just like a homeopathy dose. He put me in situations where more and more anger was coming. But eventually, he gave me the courage and strength, as I mentioned, by giving me a pendant. And he got rid of, at least, I don't know whether I should say totally anger is gone. No, anger is not gone, but certainly under control. Now, when I see, look back, all our likes and dislikes, we have to put sincere efforts to get rid of them. Eventually, the result comes with His grace. But to earn His grace, you have to put sincere efforts. So, these are real obstacles on path of spirituality.
Yes.
And what is your opinion, sir?
First of all, I would like to express my great happiness and joy to be speaking to probably thousands of Sai devotees. So to all those who are listening in of the Sai family, my greetings to everyone. This is my first talk over the Sai radio, for Radio Sai. And also I'm thankful to Prashti and Sai Prakash for giving me this opportunity. Now coming to the topic for today, that is Prem Vahini. Now, in my view, when you say Prema Vahini, it is not the book that comes to the mind, but it is Swami himself who comes to the mind.
Very correct.
Mm. No, sir?
Yes,
he is Prema Vahini.
Absolutely.
If you have spent some time with him, few years with him, and as you have more years with him, as you have had more years with him, we recall instances where love is his nature.
Yes.
That means love comes out of his words. Love is there in all his actions. Love is there in his words. And love is there in his thoughts. Be it interacting with one individual, and as you said, sir, in trying to change you, remove your weaknesses, how much time he gave. And to the other extreme, at the macro level, removing the thirst of the people or the sickness of the people. From this end to that end, it is love that permeated all his actions, and still continues to. He is still present.
Yes.
And when you were talking, no sir, I was reminded of so many instances in Vrindavan.
Sure.
Particularly the points that are mentioned here.
Yes.
That was read out. I'll just repeat them.
Sure.
That to have a consciousness unblemished by hatred and attachment, to have a speech undiluted by true untruth, and to have a body unpolluted by violence. Now let me just quote some mundane example. I want to compare people who have some of these undesirable eating habits, like eating non-vegetarian food or eating even vegetarian but heavily spiced food which are difficult to digest, or drinking all kinds of drinks, and the people who don't. If you see the lifestyle, if you see their speech or mentality or the body health, there's a marked difference, isn't it, sir? Marked difference.
Yes. Yes.
Probably it's because that in trying to eat this undesirable food or drinks, the body's vitality is absorbed, eaten away. Mm. It goes into that. A simple example, you eat very light food in the night, or eat heavily spiced, a heavy food with lots of oil, ghee and spice. It takes more time to digest, and you feel dull after that.
Yes.
But if you eat light food, you feel light. In the same manner, I feel, sir,
yes,
to be violent in thought is to eat, it's comparable to eating spicy food.
Oh, yes. The surface part of the food is the thoughts, finally.
Yes.
That's Bhagavana said.
The simple thing, as I'm walking now, suppose a car comes screeching and he applies a brake because he didn't see me in time. I can either react angrily and throw abuse at him, or say that probably he was distracted, probably I made a mistake. If he react in that positive manner, I may be right, he may be wrong, but at least I am left undisturbed by the violence of emotion.
Yes.
And I feel nice after that.
Yes.
I'm not hurting myself.
Very good.
Isn't it, sir?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's a lot of truth in what Swami has said.
The violence, we think that the violence means only the physical, or by words or action. But Swami said once, even drinking more water than you need is a violence to your body.
Violence to the body.
Yes.
Or thinking more than required over a problem, again, is a violence to your mind.
Hmm.
So I was amazed when Swami said, reading too much, or even on the spiritual path, let me see what this fellow has done, what that book says, what other religion has given the path. Again, it is a violence to your own self.
Excess learning also is violence.
Exactly. It comes in our way.
Because we don't have time to digest.
Yes.
The more you learn, the less you digest.
Yes.
Once Swami was telling about his physical prowess.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling, you don't know how powerful I am. He was seated in the old Vrindavan. And we all know where this, what is called as foreigner's quarters, or the cooperative stores in Vrindavan is.
Yes.
You know the distance.
Yes.
He was seated there and he said, When I sit here, if there's a lizard that is moving on that wall, on the cooperative stores, I can see it with my bare eyes.
Wow.
It is not because I'm divine. It's not by my divine power. It's because I've led a life, good life, pure life. That purity has given these powers to me.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It reminds me of one incident. Once it so happened, earlier we didn't have much availability of accommodation in the ashram. My younger sister, she came, and it was accepted by us that whosoever relatives, family members, they come, they would stay with us. So my sister came and stayed with us. One day, morning I got up, after sister was already with us, she had gone for darshan. I told my wife that something wrong with you. She said, no. I said, what food, who prepared the food? She said, I prepared the food. I said, do you have some disturbance in your mind? She said, no. Then she remembered, then I prepared the food, but chapati was prepared by your sister. Mm-hmm. I say, oh. Mm-hmm. Then sister came back from darshan. In the afternoon, I asked her, I know why you have come here for. She said, what for? You want to offload some problems, mental problems to Swami. She said, yes, but how do you know? I have written letter has not been accepted by Swami. I said, I know because you yesterday prepared chapatis for me. I ate those chapatis and in the dream, I could see what the disturbance was there.
In my mind.
Mm. So I said, no, I have never had any disturbance. Why the disturbance came to me?
I'm reminded of a Puranic story. Mm-hmm. You might be knowing it. A sage was there. Yes. He had his disciples. Once in a while, a disciple will invite his house for food.
Yes.
So he was invited there. And to honor the saint, that man, the devotee, had bought brand new gold vessels. Lots of gold vessels.
Yes.
And he fed him on that. While going, the saint had some unbelievably strong desire to pick up these vessels. Take it away.
Oh.
He tried his best. He didn't know what happened. The saint, imagine sir, and his own disciple. If he had asked, he would have given the entire set. But he picked up one vessel and walked away. After he left, when the disciple washed all the vessels, he noticed one vessel missing. And somebody had spotted the saint taking it. He was puzzled. Why he could have asked, he could have taken, but he left it. After all, he was his guru. He took it maybe as a blessing. Next day, the saint came and returned the vessel. He said, I don't know what happened to me. Over the night, that thought went away. I realized what I had done. I returned it.
Wow.
But I can't understand what happened. Then he sat and analyzed, and like you did about cooking. Then they discovered at the end that the Brahmin, the disciple, had appointed a cook just for the day, a special cook. Hmm. And he found out that the cook is a thief.
Yes.
The thought came to him through the food.
I mean, we have heard this story, but now listening to Bhagya sir,
yes, experience the story,
experience that. I mean, that's phenomenal.
And in the story, with respect to the to have a speech undiluted by untruth.
Yes,
Swami himself. It's amazing story. Really, I have never heard before, and after that also, Swami never narrated. Mm-hmm. In a smaller group, maybe I think MBA students were there, and we were also there. Once it so happened, Swami said long, long back, there was one gentleman in Japan. Swami gave the details, names and all. I do remember, but let's cut the story short, come to the essence of the story. This gentleman was working in Japan, Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And out of his nature, he used to help many people on a spiritual path. So they used to invite him for a speech or give some discourse or something. He would very happily go after the office hours. One day it was fixed that he will come at 6:30 p.m. so that many people can attend. It was such a big hall. This narrated by Swami himself. I think he had come to our college, and there I now recollect he had given us this story. This gentleman, appointed time was 6:30, and in Japan, I really bow down to their punctuality. You can set your watch according to the arrival of buses or the trains, and so punctual they are. So, the meeting was supposed to be held at 6:30 p.m. People will invariably be seated by and large by 6 o'clock, positively by 6:15. After 6:15, if anybody enters, people will raise their eyebrows to see who is entering, why so late. Although meeting is supposed to be at 6:30. So, and this gentleman normally used to be there by 6:15. he would see the arrangements and start the speech. Now, that particular day, he didn't turn up. Many times he used to come early to have a chat with the organizers over there. A big hall, it was full. People had already landed. They were seated quietly, waiting for the guests to come and speak. And 6:15, they thought, he'll just come. He didn't come. 6:20, then people got a little unrest that something is wrong. They tried to find out whether any accidents in between, on the way, no. Any traffic, no. Then they were wondering that why this gentleman has not come. 6:22, 6:25, their unrest was increasing. So much so that people started murmuring among themselves, the audience. And it became 6:29. Almost it was to be announced that, sorry, we cancelled the program. But never it had happened before. And that too, this gentleman reputed such an advanced person spiritually. 6:30, he didn't come.
Oh.
Now, organizers, they were in a very, very bad situation. It became 6:40. Because of his reputation of this gentleman and nature of Japanese public, they were quiet because they told them that we don't know. There must be something abnormal. That's why this gentleman has not been able to come. Please bear with us for some more time. 6:40, this gentleman lands.
Okay.
He came straight to the hall. He came to the stage. And he looked around. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, see, I'm just in time. He showed his watch. It was 6:30. So people thought, oh, his watch has failed him. Then, still, he could sense that people are not convinced about showing them the diamond time. He said, you people, see your watch? Swami has said this, that all the watches showed 6:30.
Oh, oh my God.
Swami said, this is the power of his speaking truth. He never spoke untruths anytime.
Oh.
And when he says 6:30, it is 6:30. All the watches had stopped at 6:30. So, therefore, such is the power of following what Swami says, that in order to get the ultimate goal, we have to follow even the speech undiluted by untruths.
Wow.
It's an amazing story I've never heard before.
In fact, Swami used to tell when we were in the school, 12 years. He said, 12 years if you continuously adhere to truth, then whatever you speak will become the truth.
Exactly. It happens so. May I
share
a small story?
Yeah, we have time, please, sir.
It's because a joke in my family, it had happened about me. Once I had heard about a story about Moses. My wife and daughter gave me the story written in a book. The story is by Raman Maharshi. In that, I'm not going to narrate the story because time is too short about long story. The fact is that they said that Moses, when he thought that he has reached the highest, there was the ethereal voice telling Moses that you go and learn, you have to still learn from an Indian saint, Sufi saint. He would be sitting such and such place under the tree near the bank of a river. He ignored first, second, third time that you are going to miss this opportunity. He had to go. So Sufi saint told him, ah, you cannot learn anything from me. Now Moses felt, you know, humiliated that I have to learn from this. He seems to be just a ordinary man or a villager, and he's carrying. Anyway, I'm not telling the whole story about that first. Let me come to this. Now, my daughter and wife, they had told me this story. I liked it so much that I went and shared in the class about that when you, the moral of the story is, when you are totally one with the oneness, then whatever happens to you and through you, it is divine plan. Hmm. There's nothing like wrong and right, because spontaneously, action will come out of you, and you will never feel bad about it. There's nothing like good and bad for you. So, I told the story in the class, saying that the Moses, who was disciple of Jesus. Now, when I told my wife and daughter that I narrated the story like this, they immediately caught me. That, Dad, my daughter is telling, Dad, I never said that Moses is disciple of Jesus. In fact, Jesus came later.
Yes.
Now, how did you make such a mistake? I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't catch those relationship part. So, I was feeling bad about it. Then, see what happens. I thought that tomorrow morning, when I go to the class, I'll tell students, I've made a mistake. That the relationship between Moses and Jesus is wrong. But, in the evening, Swami suddenly called for Mike, and he gave a speech.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe in that speech, Swami said, Moses, the disciple of Jesus. And I was looking at Swami, and Swami was looking at me smiling. I came back and told my wife and daughter, see, Swami also confirmed. I laughed at Swami. He kept your izzat, your name, fame. So,
wow.
It's not that whatever I spoke was a truth.
That was an aspect of love.
Love.
He supported you. You know, I reminded of Anup Jalata's song.
Yes.
Prabal, I can't sing it.
Yeah, Prabal.
I just, Prabal Prem Ke Pale Palkar.
But
if you have love for the devotee, God will even do things that are not to be done. He'll break rules.
Yes.
In the sake of disciples.
Prabhu ko niyam badalte dek.
Badalte dek. If you have time, maybe I would like to narrate one or maybe two.
Yeah, please.
I'll start with one. The fact that by practicing non-violence and practicing truth, I was just telling that how we feel better and stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Swami himself told once, you know, how many nice incidents had come out in his interaction with students.
Sure.
So it happened in Vrindavan. Once he was telling, see, because of the purity that I have, purity in thought, word and deed, I am physically very strong. But we know in our eyes how slender he is. So there was one fellow, a student at that time, very well built, very strong. And Swami told him, come here, I'll show how strong I am. I said, let's have this arm wrestling. Called him, invited him. That boy, they were so close to Swami, like you could speak to Swami. He said, Swami, you'll use a divine power, you'll win. He said, no, he promised, I won't use my divine power. Imagine he's promising, I won't use my divine power. And this I've heard from directly from my senior who had seen this happening. He said, Swami just held it a second or two. He just put him flat down. Flat down. That was physical prowess.
Yes.
Twice at least I've seen Swami going in darshan hall. No? Sometimes some devotees in excitement or of sheer love, no, uncontrollable at that moment. They come and physically they try to not exactly harm, they try to catch Swami. In the process, they end up harming Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Swami had protected himself twice.
Yeah.
Just by a touch, the man went falling, he moved away from Swami. He was not physically hurt, but Swami saved himself. Because there's just no one around who could react fast and protect him.
Mm-hmm.
Swami had, he had shown that.
Mm-hmm.
Then regarding Swami not uttering untruth, I remember, long back in Vrindavan, you know, there is a room called safe room in Vrindavan, in the old Vrindavan.
Yes.
Lots of interactions used to happen there also. He had told that once. I had heard Swami telling that. See, I never tell untruth. I never tell lies or say anything. He said, always what comes out of my mouth, he pointed, touched his mouth.
Yes.
Whatever comes out is truth.
Truth.
Even when I'm apparently joking, you know how Swami says, suprabhatam, superbottom, or many such casual statements. There's a book collection of such sci humor.
Yes.
But even in that,
Swami says there is humor, there is truth. There is truth. I was a witness to that once. I'll share with you. If possible one, if possible two.
Sure.
Because I was a direct witness to that. In one of them I was involved. I was a party to it. I was a recipient, glad recipient. Once in a while, on occasion, Swami used to ask, what are you? He knew what we were. For years we were with him as a lecturer, professor now. So he'll ask, what are you? Which subject? And with me, this favorite, Swami's favorite interaction was, he'll ask, what are you? Swami, lecturer, Swami. Which subject? Mathematics. Oh, lady subject. Then all will laugh. Because I believe till 1960, mathematics was learnt as BA. BA Mathematics, MA Mathematics. In India, only after 1960. My father did BA Mathematics. So only after about 1950s, 60s, it became BSc.
Okay.
Mathematics was considered lady subject. Only girls used to take maths.
Very true. I had a professor teaching me mathematics. He was MA in mathematics. And
MA in mathematics.
He used to guide, can you believe, engineers, chemical engineers under him. Because mathematical form, MA.
MA.
And guiding chemical engineers. My gosh.
So this was Swami's favorite joke.
Yeah, you are right.
So this was one of those umpteenth occasion. He asked me, what are you? I said, Swami, I'm a lecturer. Which subject? Mathematics. Lady subject, he said. Once again he asked, what are you? Swami, I'm a lecturer. I repeated, same day, same occasion. Then he said, are you, so it was in Thrayi, students were there. So with a twinkle in his eye, he said, are you a lecturer or a mixturer or a picturer?
Everyone
laughed. So I also laughed. But as when I came back to the room, you know, we come back and digest, chew the cud, as they say. I was just relishing the experience. Then I realized, I remembered that incidents when years earlier Swami had told, I never utter untruth. Even when I'm apparently joking, there is truth in that. So what could be the truth in mixturer and picturer? This kept on gnawing in my heart, but I didn't get the answer. I didn't have the courage to ask Swami. I didn't think of that. More than a decade passed. One day, I suddenly felt an urge to start reading Satya Sai Speaks. I said I should read Swami's books. Started Satya Sai Speaks. I rushed to the library, picked up. I thought I'll start with Satya Sai Speaks with volume 1. I picked up the volume 1. Standing in the library, I read the first discourse. You know how it goes. First Swami, somebody had spoken before Swami, some pundit. And Swami says, see this pundit, so-and-so pundit, he spoke so elaborately, quoting so much, so many from Veda, from various corners. It was an excellent speech filled with so many similes. Like that, a paragraph full of a praise for the pundit. The next paragraph is it, but whatever he spoke is nonsense. And he goes on to just debunk what he spoke.
Oh my God.
And then why? In third paragraph, why? He says, because He has not experienced any of these truths. He is just repeating parrot-like from a book. I am not an ordinary lecturer, he goes on to say. I am not an ordinary lecturer. I just don't read books and repeat from them like a parrot. I am a mixturer.
Oh.
That word is there under quotes in English. I pick up great thoughts from all corners, from various scriptures. I put them in a form which is palatable to you, which you can understand. And he says, I'm also a picturer. I'm not just talking to you. I make all these great truths come alive before your eyes.
Wow.
So the subtle message was, don't be an ordinary lecturer. Be a mixturer and a picture. Refer to more books than syllabus. So that was the message, which he put in a very light manner. He expected me to grasp that meaning. He never translated to me.
Why in 1996, I remember Swami... once he had gone, he was invited for opening a hospital or something. Devegura was the chief minister. And now Swami, in his speech, he referred Devegura as the
Pradhan Mantri Avare.
Yes.
In Kannada he spoke.
Yeah.
Instead of saying Mukhya Mantri Avare, Pradhan Mantri Devegura Avare.
I heard only the translation.
All the newspapers just rubbish Swami. Yes. Sai Baba is supposed to be God, he doesn't know. Within 3 months, he became the Prime Minister. The same papers, Sai Baba told that day. Sai Baba knew.
Swami on 14th June, he had called me.
Adi Chinchanagiri Mat.
In here in Vrindavan, he said, see Bhagya, this is Satyam, Satyam, Satyam. Whatever comes out from me is also Satyam. People thought that I am joking. I am mistake. It's a mistake that I am confused between CM and PM. But whatever comes out from this mouth is Satyam.
And as you said rightly, that same newspapers are telling that Sai Baba made him already PM from CM.
At least they had the courtesy to acknowledge.
Yes, acknowledge.
Shall we move to the next point?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
సుఖమనున్నది శాంతి అనున్నది బాహ్య వస్తువులందు ఎచ్చటనూ లేదు, అది నీలోనే ఉన్నది. శాంతి కొరకు ప్రపంచ విషయములందు వెదకుట పిచ్చి, తన అంతఃకరణయందు ఆనందమైన స్మరణయందు లభించును. మానవుడు ప్రపంచమును ఈవేళ కాకున్నా రేపటికైనా విడిచిపోవలసినదే. కనుక తెలివి కలిగి అన్నిటిలోని సారమును తెలుసుకుని స్థిరమైన సత్యమును ప్రియమైన పరమాత్మను పొందుటకు ఏవి ఆటంకాలుగా వచ్చునో అట్టి వాటిని విమర్శించి అందులోని సత్యమును తీసుకుని మిగిలినవి వదిలిపెట్టుడు. మానవునకు ప్రపంచ ఆశలున్నంత వరకు దుఃఖము తప్పదు.
పీస్ అండ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఆర్ నాట్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ అవుట్ సైడ్, దే ఆర్ ప్రెసెంట్ విద్ ఇన్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్. టు సర్చ్ ఫర్ పీస్ ఇన్ ది ఆబ్జెక్టివ్ వరల్డ్ ఇస్ మ్యాడ్నెస్. It is present in one's inner self and can be attained through blissful remembrance. Man has to live this world today or tomorrow. Thus, understanding the essence of everything, one must strive to attain the changeless truth and the enduring Lord. And in the process, whatever obstacles one may encounter, one should analyze carefully and accept those that are in line with the truth and discard the rest. As long as man has worldly desires, suffering is unavoidable.
How true it is, we think that the happiness is outside, in the objects outside. Because we think that money can give us everything. But we don't realize after a limit, money becomes even the obstacle. Swami often he gives the same example. Money should be like shoes.
Yes.
If it is too tight, then also you'll be hurt, and if it is too loose, you'll not be able to manage. So one direct experience way back in maybe 1988 or so came to me, that realization of how the happiness doesn't come from outside object. What is happiness and how it comes and how temporarily it comes and goes. Just to narrate one experience, I was going to Vrindavan from Parthi. Those days, if you remember, Subramaniam sir, there were not good transport available, buses.
Yes.
And, you had to travel a lot. It would take a half a day or even more to go from Parthi, reach the Whitefield.
Which year are you talking about, sir?
I'm talking 88.
88, definitely.
87,
yes.
88. I think it was 87.
Two buses, possibly.
Yeah.
Two buses. SRS service.
Yes, SRS service. Then from Majestic also, to go to Whitefield, again there will be...
Not many buses.
Very difficult...
to reach.
To reach. So, now, those years my health was pretty bad. I was not able to digest anything, particularly eating anything from outside. So, I didn't realize that it will take... beyond lunchtime to reach. I had started in the morning. Whatever I had, I had finished on the way. So in the afternoon, I was feeling hungry, waiting for the bus, because there would be 5 hours waiting. I have gone through 5 hours waiting in the Majestic for the Whitefield bus to come at Majestic, from Majestic to Whitefield. So they said that bus is coming only in the evening. I said, okay. So I had to buy something. Looking here and there, I purchased a bread, loaf of a bread, and fruit bread. Bakery, it was freshly being brought out, so I thought it would be safe for my system. Purchased the bread, and there were 10 slices. Nice, sweet, and no spices or anything which will hurt my system. I straight away took 4 or 5 to satisfy my hunger, and had a water, and I was happy. Now, bus had not yet come. Waiting for a long time, I said, okay, let me finish 2-3 more slices. I took 3 more slices. Then I felt it was not necessary. Anyway, I just ate. Now, just imagine 2 more slices were left in my hand. Bus came. It was very crowded bus. I didn't get a chance to sit on the seat. So I was standing. Bus started moving. Then those 2 slices, holding them along with the luggage, was giving me a problem. I said, why not put them in the stomach, even those 2 slices also. So I'll be free of those bread pieces. When I ate those 2 and had a sip of water, as if something poisonous went inside, I was feeling, you know, vomiting sensation, and I was cursing my stars, a decision that why did I eat those 2? There came a flash of revelation to me. See, when I was hungry, all my thoughts were focused on, can I eat something? But other items are not available, so I located the bread. And bread, I thought, that's good. First 5 slices gave me tremendous satisfaction because my hunger was appeased. Next 3 slices, somehow I managed. They didn't give me not even proportionately less happiness, but on the contrary, the verge of saturation. Giving me warning that if you eat any more, graph will be reversed. Last 2 slices proved that the same bread caused me discomfort inside. Now, if the bread is the source of happiness, that means any external object was the source of happiness, it should have continued to give me the happiness more and more in proportion to the number of slices I ate. So, it gave me further revelation that then what is the happiness? Happiness, we think when the mind is focused on certain things external to it, there is a disparity, the thoughts are going out, and the mind thinks that that object will remove those thoughts going outside. So we get the object, thoughts are calmed down, the mind goes back to the self because hunger was appeased. Then I was very, very happy. Happiness came when I stopped, my thoughts going outside was stopped, and it went back to the source, which is the self. So the happiness never lies from outside. It is always inside, but we presume that particular object will give me the happiness because we have focused our thoughts on that object. So if we remove the strong attachment, likes or dislikes, unwanted thoughts going outside us, bring the thoughts back to yourself, then you are always happy. Happiness is not just acquiring, amassing the wealth or the objects or the sense objects or even the name and the fame. It's all temporary. So long we think that that will give me happiness, it comes momentarily, you feel satisfied, thoughts stop going outside outside yourself, you feel happy. Again, next moment, you are back to square one.
Swami is telling once, there's nothing wrong in seeing anything. See anything, there's nothing good or bad. But if you want to see a second time, that is looking, then there's good and bad.
Very good. Very
see, good. No problem. See, but don't look. Very simple mantra from Swami. The same manner regarding eating, to all those who are struggling to control their dietary food intake, Swami's got a very simple mantra. Eat what you want, but when you want to take a second helping, stop. When you feel, this is nice, I should take some more, stop. That's it. And another formula, Swami has said, when you sit down, you're light. When you get up, you should be as light as that. Light. Yes. That's all. Otherwise, eat anything. That means limit. So Swami, attachment is very simple actually. Mm. Like the story of the bear, no sir? Story of the bear.
Oh yes.
In the floods.
Yeah.
Yes. A bear is going. The man is caught in the flood, it's going. A man is also caught in the floods, he's floating. He sees that bear, but he looks at it as some kind of boulder or some kind of fur or something, blanket. So he goes and catches it. Now, the bear is equally terrified of the flush like the man. So when he went and hugged it, the bear hugged him back. No, he can't escape. Who was responsible for that? He was responsible.
Based on that one, just spontaneously one interaction is coming to my mind in Vrindavan. You know, students, when they come back from holidays and they interact with Bhagwan, especially I'm talking about MBA boys, when we used to take the boys to for the summer project to various companies, very first few days they will get banging from Swami. One day they were praying to Swami, please Swami, talk to us, interact with us. Then Swami was so upset, this please Swami, please Swami. Then Swami shouted, please Swami. Everybody that meaning was that you must please Swami first.
Yes.
And then he, in anger, such words, even I was terrified. He said, you all are donkeys. You are dogs, pigs. Get out. So everybody, all, whole thai session was silent. He mentioned about one senior professor also. He is also a pig. I was really, because maybe he was helping boys to plead to Bhagwan or whatever it is. Then I was looking at Swami. Swami just gave stare, deep look. I got the answer. I said, Swami, divine. Divine mouth, how can call boys dogs, pigs and donkeys? And then it came to my understanding that when we go out, when boys went out, he called them dogs. What is the characteristics of dog? Because Sai, S-A-I, see always the inner significance of what he says. So dogs, what they do? First of all, they are short-tempered, egoistic. They don't allow any other dog to come to their territory. So don't be that type of angry.
Possessive.
Possessive or anger. Second, that the dog invariably will catch a bone. He will go on chewing the bone. And in the process, the bleed, his mouth will bleed. He would think that the taste is coming, taste of a blood from the bone. Actually, it is his own, the blood. So, don't be like a dog. When your happiness is inside you, you go out thinking that the bone will give me the joy, taste. Now, similarly, pigs. Pig, you give them a nice pond, clean water, they will not enjoy. They will always find the marshy, slushy area. They will enjoy that. So, Swami is giving us such beautiful surroundings. We don't enjoy that. When we go out, you feel that, that is very nice.
Also, sir, pigs, no, they never stop eating.
Oh.
Those are rare pigs for consumption.
Mm-hmm.
They know, they keep
on
eating. They keep on eating.
Yes.
They never stop.
Yes, you are right. Then third one, donkeys. That, when Lord is available for us, still we carry our loads on our backs. You are donkeys. He has capability of taking all the loads of all the people. We don't surrender to him. We carry the load ourselves. So, then I understood, Swami is referring to that.
The animal quality is not the animal as such.
Yes.
The animal. So even in that anger, there is love, no sir?
So we have to maintain,
yes.
We can maintain equanimity only when we consider Lord all the time with us. Don't, excuse me, don't get attracted towards sense objects. Surrender all your problems to him and have discrimination what is good, what is not good for us. Then one that I don't think after that, I have heard Swami addressing students and some of the senior people that you are dogs and pigs and donkeys. So we are, in a literal sense, we are so. We are not understanding.
I heard Swami uttering that.
Huh?
Once I was seated, he came, just after vacation, boys had come, I had stayed for vacation, there was a boy seated next to me, this is later, post-mortem, revealed,
He was seated next to me. He had just come that day from home, seated next to me. Swami came from there along the veranda. He turned apparently at me, donkey, monkey, pig, buffalo, a series of these words. After, you know, just like a burst. I just sat up like, what did I do? Then something told me, look around. I saw the fellow next to me. At the end of it, Swami said, when you went home, you saw movies. For that. So, but I remember that is one occasion. There are other occasions, no? Pandilo, Gardilo. When Swami says that, I've seen his face, it is not anger, it is an agony.
Yes.
He has kept quiet all these maybe years or so many days, so many occasions he has kept quiet. You fellows are not changed. That agony bursts forth like that. The agony born of, now as you said, Nasa, why you're not following such simple teachings that I'm giving you?
Yes.
So that's why the last sentence Bhagavan is telling, as long as man has worldly desires, suffering is unavoidable, as Swami gives wonderful example of football. If there's an air in the football, the players will keep on kicking him from one court to the other court. So when the air is gone, nobody is interested in you. So if you give up all the negative things and desires in the world, then you are safe.
Yes.
There's a saying by Saint Paul, God greatly humbles a soul so that he may afterward greatly exalt it.
Yeah.
So that puncturing process and squeezing process.
Yes. Wow, I think that is the journey of every devotee, that is the journey of every person on the spiritual path. I know time is running out, so we have somehow perhaps just scratched the surface of all the segments. I know Bhagya sir will have so many more anecdotes to share, and Subhanam sir, it is just the beginning. This is the first time you have come to Radio Sai. We really hope that, you know, we will have this blessing of at least 40 episodes of 40 years of experience with Bhagwan in Vrindavan.
And yeah, why not?
Lovely moments, you know. I think every time you read what Bhagwan has written, that is the advantage of having the avatar. You know, you have seen that in his life.
Yes.
You can relate to every word that, you know, he has written, because
absolutely,
you have seen every aspect of him living in his life, whatever he has written. And I think that is the most precious gift that humanity is blessed with, when the Lord comes down in a human form. And it's really our joy and our privilege that we have this opportunity. And as sir also mentioned, that why are we not following this? It's so simple, actually. It is happiness, as Bhagwan is saying, it is so simple. So spirituality is as easy as squeezing a flower petal. So it's very simple once you accept him, and once you just scrupulously close your eyes and just in complete faith and surrender follow him. If you see this chapter 10, you know, Bhagwan began by talking about devotion, where Swami says that devotion is not being, first of all, you should be able to take blame and criticism, shame and praise in equanimity. And then Bhagwan goes on to talk about how even enlightened people are not exempt from blame and slander. And then we went on to the discussion of how we should move away from people who are asleep, as Bhagwan has very clearly said. And once you are established in your conviction, then Swami says, then victory will come to you, then nothing will shake you. And then we had so many beautiful examples where Bhagwan is mentioning about the different kinds of devotees, and then we moved on to the qualities of the true devotee, and the two beautiful tenets: to consider the faults of others, however big, as insignificant, and to consider faults of oneself, however small, as big. I think those are, Swami mentioned, as the two very significant principles that we need to practice. And then today you had some more elaboration on that, where a devotee, if you are saying you are worshipping the Lord, then you have to be someone who confirms to non-violence, who confirms to truth, and who confirms to not being attached to anything. Wow, it has been such a beautiful elaboration of what devotion is, what spirituality is. Dear listeners, please do take your time and read this beautiful pearls of wisdom that Bhagavan has so painstakingly written for us decades ago, and as we read them, as you read them, as we together do this sadhana, we will only help each other as we share our experiences, as we share our learnings, and we pray that, you know, in this journey with joy we move towards Him in this process of becoming one with Him in love, in bliss. Thank you so much, Bhagya sir. And
thank you so much to you, all of you, and the listeners. I really enjoyed sessions.
Thank you to everyone. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So dear listeners, with that, it's time to bring to an end this day-long Thursday Live. Please feel free to write to us, as always, to listener@radiosai.org, and we will continue the next chapter, chapter 11, in the coming episodes of Vahini Satsang, with prayers to Bhagwan and gratitude at His feet for giving us this wonderful opportunity to ruminate on His love and His message. We take leave. Thank you so much. Sadam.